the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to episode number 160 of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek, S-H-E-K. Much to discuss. Let's get into it right now. He's back in the seat to my immediate right. As always, you know him from NFL.com. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
Appreciate
sure.
you keeping the seat warm for me.
Absolutely. And I should let everybody know, we just completed watching the latest installment of the top 100 players in the NFL of 2013. Some surprises, as usual. That's to be expected the way this list is going. And we're going to get into that. I apologize for interrupting.
No, please.
And by the way, momentarily, we're not sure exactly when, Roddy White, whose name was revealed on the list, like I say, just moments ago, is going to be joining us here in Studio 66. So
very
that'll
cool.
be fun. Now, what were you saying there, Rank?
No. I was just saying thanks for keeping the seat warm for me. I understand anytime I walk away, you know, I could easily be Drew Bledsoe.
Yeah, that's the modern version of getting Wally pipped.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know what? Especially when it's a guy like Handsome Hank. That's when you feel the heat a little bit.
Yeah, he's got his English flair. Yeah, that's hard to beat. Well, matter of fact, why don't we say hello to him right now? He's sitting directly across from you there. Rank from across the Atlantic Ocean. Now he serves as the resident Dolphins fan on this show. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England. Handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, eh?
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
Very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for having me here as well. And Adam, out of respect, I didn't sit in your chair when you were away.
Classy.
Very nice. Yeah, we left it open.
And now, I feel a little remiss. I didn't get a chance to go back and listen to what you were doing on the last episode. Did you guys mention Deacon Jones?
Of course, yeah. As a matter of fact, Deacon Jones did come up. We talked about him,
because I did miss episodes 74 and 75, the first time I ever missed an episode of the Dave Dameshek Football Program. And you would think, because back in the day we used to honor the person who wore the number best,
uh-huh.
And so 74 and 75. Any non-biased football fan, of course, would say what Merlin Olsen and Deacon Jones 74 or 75. Somehow it was Bob Lilly and Mean Joe Green.
Yeah, well,
looking mistakes, back, do you feel bad now?
Mistakes were made. I'm the first one to admit it.
You for that.
And there he is behind the glass. Let's say hello to him now. It's Black Tie. What's the poop with you, Black Tie?
How's it going, guys?
Terrific.
Had a bit of a rough day so far. But
yeah, we did. Yeah, we did. Because, all right, let's pull back the curtain there, Black Tie.
You're going to go there already?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Let me tell you real quick.
Get it out of your system. Just get it out of your system.
All right.
Go ahead.
Because we're talking about the Top 100 show, and I'm pleased to be on the Top 100 reaction show every week on Thursday night. Be on the lookout for that as we continue to count it down to number one, which, by the way, that reminds me, we all have to sit down and do maybe like 25 down. We could do this between now and next week. We should see how close we can respectively get to accurately getting, because now you can guess most of the names that are going to appear. It's just a matter now of how they'll rank out. So we should do that. But Dennis Pitta, who was number 100 on the list,
right,
we got him on to see where he comes down, because we now know, based on Vernon Davis being on the list on the most recent episode, there's Vernon Davis sitting there at number 38. That means there's only one tight end left, which means either Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski is not on this list. And I think it bears repeating, Dennis Pitta is. So no Graham or Gronkowski. One of those two. Yes on Dennis Pitta. We talked with Dennis Pitta about this.
Your producer got Dennis Pitta to come.
That's right, he did.
Oh, that's
yes.
Oh, what a
yeah,
great
we,
producer.
We booked Dennis Pitta, the tight end of the Baltimore Ravens, to discuss
this. That's what he's good at. He's good at producing.
A great producer.
And so we got, let me tell you some more, because we had a great conversation with him, as it turned out. He was delightful. And we talked about his placement on the top 100. He was self-effacing, but also confident about where his future would take him on this list and out onto the gridiron.
Sounds like a terrific interview, I can't wait to hear it.
Well, and then I said, and then we were talking about who's going to fill the void in the Ravens locker room. Now that Ray Lewis is gone, we suggested, hey, what about Dennis Pitta just does Ray Lewis impersonations in the locker room? He loved the idea. He said, yeah, I'll work on that. We said, just you got to get ready by September for game day. You have 2 months to perfect your Ray Lewis impersonation. We suggested periodic visits with him to hear how his Ray Lewis impression is coming along.
Great idea.
Would have been fun summer fair and everything else. Now, why do I say it would have been? Because we finished the delightful 15-minute conversation with Dennis Pitta.
Delightful.
Walked outside the door, right. and what did Black Tie say?
That was a great conversation. No, no. I'm glad I booked him.
Incorrect. No. No, try again.
Let's get Dennis Pitta on every week. I loved recording that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. Wrong again. Hey. I don't want you to strike out. You're already 0-2 here. I'm just going to cut to the chase here. Black Tie, so what did you say when we walked out?
Well, what I said was, I had a rough day, and for some reason, the machines are against me, and the interview ended up not recording. Mm.
The machines turned against you.
Yeah,
they turned
totally
evil.
Against me. Totally against me.
Is it because the machines turned against you, or you forgot to turn the machine on?
Right. Hey, Black Tie, how many buttons do you have to press to record a phone call?
That's like an SAT quiz.
Apparently, one that he got wrong when he took his SATs.
It's so funny. This is probably not. I'm not even sure if this is recording.
Yeah,
that would be ironic.
I would.
Irony is when it's an unexpected result based on previous history.
I would make my usual go-to Adam Rank ate it joke, but
at Rank? I mean, what did Rank do wrong?
He's not fair. Now. He works out at the gym. By the way,
a man takes the heat. He accepts it.
Just to correct you guys, it wasn't a 15-minute interview. It was a short 5-minute interview because Dennis Pitta was weightlifting at the time, so he that went into our time. Who
5 minutes?
20 minutes, but yes.
So now you're attacking Rank and for his weight issues. You're attacking me on veracity because I said 15 and you say 5 when in fact it was more like 12. And lastly, you attack Dennis Pitta for being busy working out
to
get
for
better. He wants
minutes.
He wants to move up the list.
Hey, do you even lift, bro? It doesn't take you 20 minutes.
How is it possible that, what are you going to say? How are you somehow going to put this one on Handsome Hank now? Cover up Handsome Hank. Because everyone else associated with today's podcast is getting attacked.
You know what? The few fans I have happen to be from the UK. I don't want to cross them by going at Hank. Okay, so let's leave it at that, guys.
Wow.
Let's move on.
It was a great conversation with Dennis Pitta, have to take our word for
it. It was so short that we just recapped the whole thing pretty much. Like, just assume Dennis Pitta
we
was
talked
on.
About Joe Flacco at
really
dinner
good.
With his newfound money and all that. Anyway, what's done is done. Let me bring you up to speed here. At number 40, we just found out, Ndamukong Suh. I'm a little surprised by that. Based on all the negative noise you hear about him from his peers, I'm not saying this from the talking heads either, it sounds like a lot of his peers, certainly Warren Sapp, who knows a thing or two about to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, doesn't think a whole lot of Sue in conversations about that. But anyway, so he's at number 40, then Roddy White, who will be with us momentarily, then there's Vernon Davis. I didn't think he was getting on this list. Like I say, this means Gronkowski or Graham not there. Then Navarro Bowman, Geno Atkins, the very fine defensive tackle, led the league in had the most sacks for a defensive tackle in, I think, 12 years or something like that. Then Dezzy Bryant, Charles Peanut Tillman at 34, Patrick Peterson at 33, Frank Gore at 32, Clay Matthews III, our old pal who has made millions and millions of dollars for the swim move I taught him. he's at 31. So here's what stands out to me, fellas, and tell me what you think. First of all, the wide receiver situation. We go Roddy White and Dez Bryant. That leaves 7 wide receivers in the top 30 now. So 7 of the 7 spots are there. Now, count with me here. Brandon Marshall is definitely going to make it, right?
Yep, 100K, sure.
Dominant season. So, but I mean, obviously, either Jimmy Graham or Rob Gronkowski isn't on here, so we could be shocked. But let's make the assumption. Brandon Marshall, yes. Julio Jones, yes. Calvin Johnson, yes. A.J. Green, yes. So that's 4 of the remaining 7. Then there's, you know, Reggie Wayne should make it. I don't know if he will.
Really?
And if you actually know the list 30? Here, if you know what this list is, do not be dinging me or buzzing me here, Black Tie. If you're saying, or if that ding is just merely your personal opinion agreeing, so be it. Now, there's also Larry Fitzgerald. He didn't have a good year and he's had two down years.
But he has the respect of his peers.
That's I agree. Exactly the point. I think Larry Fitzgerald.
He has to be in.
So
he's
that
in.
Would bring us to five.
Well, wait, I don't know if I agree on Wayne.
Yeah, yeah. I disagree with Reggie Wayne.
I think if That's Reggie Wayne was on this list, he'd be on by now.
Hmm. Yeah. All right, interesting.
He's not in the top 30.
There's Michael Crabtree and there's Dez Bryant. Both had big years, relatively young guys. You would think they'd be on here, but we're getting to a point now. Again, it's not a matter of if they're in the top 100. No, we haven't had Dez Bryant yet.
Dez Bryant is here, number 35.
Oh, yeah. Oh. So I'm sorry. Yeah, right.
Come on, Chuck. You just did the show like 20 minutes ago.
I apologize. Right. So we have Dez Bryant now out of the way. I'm getting confused in how I'm counting him. Okay, so he's in. So that means Crabtree, Fitzgerald. So we're going Marshall, Julio, Calvin Johnson, Fitzgerald, AJ Green. That's five, so that's two remaining between Crabtree, Stevie Johnson, Torrey Smith, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson. Some of those names are getting left off. Andre mm-hmm. Johnson's not going to be in the top 100.
I think he makes it.
Torrey Smith? I mean, we saw Anquan Boldin and Jacoby Jones. Jacoby Jones gets there largely for his kick returning and punt returning, but still, the other two guys are going to make it, and Dennis Pitta, another pass catcher. Torrey Smith has to be on this list, right?
I don't know that five Ravens pass catchers make this list.
Yeah, that's...
And we still have Joe Flacco to go. Wow, this is...
Well, they are the Super Bowl champions.
Fine, all right. But so then who's going to miss it out of the names? Crabtree, I don't think he can miss it.
Really?
Can Larry Fitzgerald not be on this list?
I mean, Crabtree... Crabtree's an interesting one because Kaepernick made the list with a good, you know, point during the season after he came in, and Crabtree looked good after Kaepernick came in. I don't believe that both of those guys...
His career numbers soared as soon as Kaepernick took over.
Do they both make it on the list for you know, three quarters of a season?
I don't know how you would have Vernon Davis, who's a great blocker as well, but still, how you would have Vernon Davis in there at 38, and you're not going to have him anywhere. Is Brandon Marshall going to miss this list? It's very confusing. It's hard to...
Marshall's on.
He has to make.
And then the other question, I guess, the other big question, as far as I'm concerned from this, is where do you see which tight end is not going to make it now? Graham or Gronkowski? One of the two ain't going to make it.
It's got to be Graham.
It's
going to be Graham.
How could Jimmy Graham not be on here? How many passes did he catch this year?
I agree, but it's less preposterous than Gronk not making the list. So it's got to be Graham.
I kind of disagree. I mean, he's the one guy catching pass. I mean, Drew Brees, week in and week out, he just throws jump balls to Jimmy
Graham. But that's what
he
does. But that's all he does. I think the players, his peers, think he's one dimensional.
Like the 2%.
But it's still a huge drop. Last year, I think he was top 20.
He was 15 last year. How can he go from 15 to outside the list?
Number 14.
How many catches did Jimmy Graham have this year? That seems loco to me. Right.
Are the Saints just boycotting the entire list?
Maybe it is. Maybe that is what it comes down to. Oh, and here he walks in the door right now. There he is. That's him in the flesh.
Why can't you dress? Look at how nice
now
he looks.
Now I feel bad.
Do you feel terrible?
Now
you should.
I'm embarrassed because here he comes,
Goodness
everybody.
Gracious.
All the way from Atlanta, from Fulton County, Georgia, looking smart in a, I think that's maybe a mauve blazer he has on there, a mauve sports jacket, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, what a pleasure to see you again. Roddy White, how are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys today?
Well, we're a little, you know, we're looking through this list here, and this top 100, the latest 10 names here, and we're a little shocked. We're doing some math on it. First, though, let's talk shop. What is that? Did I get the color right? Would you call that mauve, your blazer?
It's a little bit more of a plum color.
Plum.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah.
Very nice. It looks good. How's everything going in Atlanta? Is that where you're doing summertime?
Yeah, it's going good.
Yeah.
Can't complain.
How's your mind? Now, I got to, as a part of something we did last year, a segment, I got to go to a Thursday night game against the Saints, and I watched it with Roddy's mom, grandmother, great grandmother, and it sounds like a house that I would love to be in because they shared the information. I said, "What's Roddy like? What kind of breakfast meat does Roddy enjoy?" What did they tell me, Roddy?
Well, they probably tell you bacon, sausage, grits, eggs,
and bacon. Yeah, they're bacon and sausage. A plate, your breakfast plate shows up with two kinds of meat on it. Delicious. Yeah.
Bacon wrapped sausage. Genius.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, Roddy, so what? Here's what we're talking about right now. Well, before we get into that, I want to talk about some football stuff as you guys get ready now. I'm sure you're hearing a lot of the noise too. It's the Seahawks or the Niners, and everybody just about has kissed one of those two teams into the Super Bowl already. And I, you know, all due respect to the Packers, who are each year seems like they add another piece or two to their defense to get a little stronger. Now they have a running game, but the Falcons, to me, this is a team. What gives with this? Are you guys? Do you feel a little bit like the NFL's San Antonio Spurs? It feels to me like people don't count you guys as much as they should, because to me, Humanura makes your defense much better. Young pieces in the secondary, and now you go Steven Jackson. To me, that feels like an upgrade. Why do you feel like people aren't counting the Falcons as much?
I just don't think, you know, we don't make a lot of changes. We didn't make a lot of changes. We didn't make a big splash in free agency, because I feel like our core guys are really good. You know, we don't have to go out there and go reach for other players, because I feel like right now the stable is full. You know, and we're ready to go. You know, and we're really talented on offense. You know, and we're picking up little pieces on defense. You know, and our defense is only going to get better. You know, this is the second year under Mike Nolan, so the guys understand it a little bit more. And we'll be what we are on offense. You know, we got a lot of talented players that can make plays, and we'll score a lot of points.
But you're talking about the pieces on offense. You guys added Steven Jackson. No disrespect to Michael Turner, but Steven Jackson catches the ball out of the backfield. He did that in St. Louis. He had a ton of catches. I think he makes your offense a lot more dynamic, which is hard to believe because you guys were already pretty good.
Yeah, it's a little bit change of pace because we don't have to take him out of the game, which means no matter what the set formation is, the defense doesn't know the call, whether it's run pass, because he doesn't have to come out the game. You know, and you know, he can catch the ball out the backfield. He's really good at the screen game and things like that. So, you know, when you have a three down back that don't have to come out the game, now you got to go as a defensive coordinator and try to pick up other tendencies. You know, instead of just saying, you know, when we had Mike, it's like, okay, 80% run. You know, they're running the ball. Now when he's back there, it's going to be, we don't know what they're doing. It could be run pass, you know, whatever, whatever. And we can always check it down to him, and, you know, he can get yards after the catch. So.
Well, you talk about how potent the offense was last year. How much you don't have to completely reveal everything that's going on with minicamp and everything, but true or false, Matt Ryan's going to be running a little spread option this year.
No.
Thought maybe. Hey, listen, it's a newfangled offense. A lot of teams are trying.
The other teams can try that.
You don't think he would do it?
No. We're conventional. He likes to just sit back there, throw the ball, and get it in our hands and watch us run and catch.
Well, what about the fact that looking at this top 100 list, I think we can safely assume Julio Jones is going to make it. Now, we know you're on it. How say you that that the younger fella now is going to wind up ahead of you on this list? That's going to be – I predict your answer, if you're going to – no jive, if you're going to be honest, it's going to cause a rift in the locker room that will last all season long.
No, I mean, it is what it is. You know, he made the Pro Bowl, and the guys over there vote. You know, the guys over there that make the Pro Bowl, they vote for those. I mean, for the top 100. So, you know, me not making it, not being able to, you know, go over there, then, you know, I got to be on the back end looking in.
Oh, so, that's an interesting – yeah, your math is probably right on that. Yeah, they're all over there. They're looking at Julio Jones. They don't want him looking over their shoulder like, you put Roddy ahead of me? Yeah, he doesn't want to deal. They don't want to deal with that.
So, you know, that's kind of what it is. So, I mean, I'm not mad. You know, we're teammates. We love each other. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, his potential is through the roof. You know, he's only going to get better year in, year out. You know, in this league, you know, he'll be good for a long time.
See, that's unfair. Julio Jones gets to see him while they're all poolside, you know, throwing back a couple of drinks, talking him into the...
He could even ply him with a couple of drinks, right.
Well, I'll get you around if you guys will vote for me.
Yeah, come on, right there. Roddy who, right?
Yeah.
I heard that's what he was...
I'm upset.
Now, what do you make of this? Here's what we're talking about, Roddy, is that now there are seven wide receivers left after you and Dez Bryant are revealed. somebody big's getting left off this list among the wide receivers, because Brandon Marshall, Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, A.J. Green, that's five right there. And then so after that, Crabtree or Andre Johnson or Torrey Smith or Stevie Johnson or Reggie Wayne, there are at least three names I just said there that are not going to show up on this list. Stunning stuff, eh?
Yeah, I think Reggie Wayne has to be on this list.
You would think so. It's his peers. After all this time in the league?
Yeah, after what he's done and, you know, over the years of just going out there and competing at a high level and just, you know, he kind of put that passing game on his back this year and kind of, you know, made a lot of big plays, you know, and, for the rookie quarterback and kind of made his transition a lot easier, you know, into the NFL. So he has to be on that list.
Now, Roddy White, who do you like better, Julio Jones or Roddy White? As a person, I don't even care about the football. There's more to you than just football.
I mean, we're so similar, especially in backgrounds and like where we come from. Even though he's from Alabama and I'm from South Carolina, you know, and just hanging around his family and how he is with his mom and everything, it just reminds me so much of, you know, how I am with my mom and, you know, just how we handle business and how we, you know, we take care of things. So, I mean, to say I'm a better person than him, you know, it's really not fair to him because, of course, I'm going to believe I'm a better person. You
know, like, there's the headline, you know, right, like, there. I'm a better person.
I got it.
You ask me, like, hey, Roddy, are you a better person? No, I'm not a better person.
So ask me. Say, Adam, are you a better person than Dave?
Yeah, Adam, are you a better person than Dave?
Well, that's different. Yes, of course I am, because he's a bad guy.
What about Roddy? How do you so obviously we have yet to see who these names are going to be. You did nicely with the list there. Where do you think Matt Ryan winds up here? Because it's not a certainty that he's on here, but I think we can do the math. He wasn't on the list a year ago. Where do you think Matt Ryan, not among the rest of the other positions, but among the QBs?
How many quarterbacks are listed?
You know what? Off the top of my head, I'm not sure who's left, but give me your top six QBs, and if you can do it. I hate to put you on the spot.
Yeah, my guy has to be in the top five.
All right, Aaron Rodgers is definitely in the anybody's top two, I would think.
Just to list it off, we got the names we have left: Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, and Robert Griffin III, I believe.
Boy, oh boy, Robert Griffin III is getting all sorts of credit for a gangbuster season. He had the greatest, arguably greatest rookie QB season ever. But, man, oh, man, I can't believe he's going to be in the top 30.
Yeah. I mean, he did a lot of good things.
He's fantastic.
I'll tell you one thing, that he doesn't make a lot of mistakes in games.
So, that's the big thing. I think people sort of connect the dots that he's a running guy, so he probably drops the ball a fair amount or is a risk taker. But
yeah, he's not a risk taker. He looks for throws. Like when we played the Redskins, he only threw balls that he knew he can complete. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the difference between him and Andrew. Andrew Luck is willing to take a couple more chances than him because the opportunities out there to make big plays, he feels like, you know, you can get down the field and score more points. And with the Redskins, how they ran the football, and, you know, the rookie running back Alfred Morris going out there and doing such a good job, it doesn't put that much pressure on Robert Griffin III. You know, you got a 1,600 yard rusher. I mean, you can't look to throw the ball for 4,000 or 5,000 yards. I mean, you end up around 4,000 yards. That's a heck of a season. I mean, if you're running the ball at that limit and getting 4 or 5 yards a carry, I mean, second down is second and six. You know, those are a lot easier. And when you get the third and two and three, I mean, the play calls for the defense is are tremendous. I mean, your opportunities to convert those are a whole lot easier.
Do you think that along the lines of RG3, obviously Cam Newton and all the other guys that are running so much now from QB spot, do you think, as Mike Nolan told you, hey, Roddy, don't worry, I solved the spread option. I know nobody can run it on us this year. Do you think the defensive coordinators will have figured out a way to at least really slow it down?
No, because the quarterbacks are too athletic to me. Like, it doesn't matter if you have the right call on. Because if you have the right call on and the defensive end is one-on-one right there, he's 270, you know, 6'4", 6'5". Now, this guy's 6 foot. Cam is 6'5", 250, and can make you miss. So if he makes a miss and run for 20 yards, I mean, I put that guy in the right position to make the play. But
right.
he can't make the play because that guy's an athlete.
It's the same thing as the option. It's why the option can work in college because, yeah, it still requires.
I got better players than you.
Right, yeah. So. Interesting. So, all right, what does Roddy White now do in the summertime? Let's find out about Roddy White, the man, and why he thinks he's so much better than Julio Jones. What do you like to do? You like to see the movies? You like to watch TV?
I'm a movie guy. I rarely watch any television. Actually, I really spend zero time, you know, watching television. I listen to a lot of different music.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you tweeted out that you missed watching Al Bundy and Married with Children.
Yeah, because television now is all reality TV. Everybody tunes in and stuff. It's just funny. It's comical. I used to like Cheers, man. That was a great TV show.
Cheers!
You know, Married with Children was a great TV show. You know?
Don't seem old enough to be able to remember these shows.
Yeah, you must have been. You must have been four when Cheers was on.
But, yeah, I love those shows.
Yeah, it's the best one there is.
Great shows.
And, you know, nowadays I got to watch, you know, Dance Moms and all kind of. You know, this is ridiculous. You don't have to.
That's
apparently what's on TV.
What about that? Would you ever dance for the stars? Say no.
No, I wouldn't dance with the star because they're making it way too hard for the wide receivers to win now. We go out there, we put on great displays, and they end up putting us in second place and things like that. So, you know.
Yeah, that'll leave that stuff to the guys way back in the 90s on the top 100. Isn't that where Jacoby Jones was somewhere back in the 90s there? Roddy, so Jacoby Jones did, in fact, as you may have heard, I remember talking to your mother. She was really excited about New Orleans. She really wanted to meet up in February in New Orleans with you down there. It was going to be a week-long party. Delayed perhaps by only a year. Maybe you can get together in New Jersey this February. Answer me this. What do you think is, from a fan's perspective, what would be the coolest matchup? Because are you an NBA guy or NHL guy?
Yeah, I watch hockey.
Hockey. You a big Thrashers guy?
I went to a couple of Thrashers games.
That was a terrible name for a team. And their uniforms were ugly, too.
Yeah. That was bad. I didn't like the turquoise and the dark blue.
Oh, it was too much. It was like with navy blue and red. Yeah. You don't just say you have to choose colors. You just don't get to put every color in the rainbow in your uniform.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That was terrible.
So they both have had, the NHL had a good Final Four. NBA, they dodged the bullet because if you would have had San Antonio and Indianapolis, nobody would have watched it.
Yeah.
In the finals, what is the optimal matchup? I know you're going to say they're Falcons, but again, no jive, Roddy. What do you think would be the coolest one to be sitting there watching? Or let's assume the Falcons are one of the four.
I mean, you got to put Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in there. And I think Green Bay and us would be a good.
That's a more classic, but like before traditional style QBs with Aaron Rodgers, the exception there because he runs around a little bit. But that would be a pretty dandy
one. I don't
like
the guys that run around. They give us the most problems.
I see.
You know, I like the conventional guys. You can sit back there and tackle them. You know, we get in these playoffs and stuff like that. These guys. You know, it's 3rd and 16, and these guys, you know, they tail out there and run this way, run that way, and go pick up first downs. Like traditional quarterbacks don't do that. It's a sack, you know, punt.
It's unfair,
you know?
Almost.
Yeah, so, you know, and you're looking up at the clock, you know, during the playoffs this year, you know, you're looking at the clock like run, you know, and we building these leads and stuff like that, but it's so tough to defend those guys, man. You know, you got to defend them every play. You know, and you got to say backside defenders in case he keeps the ball and the spread option and you leave the front side open, you know, one gap open and it's a 30, 40 yard run, you know. And, you know, that's hard to defend, man.
What is the big difference to me? It does stand out to me that if you would have, and again, not to diminish Michael Turner, who did great work in Atlanta over the years, but it's Steven Jackson, it seems like in 2013, in the second half, or in fact, let's go to January of 2013, this past playoffs, I feel like if you would have had Steven Jackson back there in the second half, it would have just been give the ball to him until they stop him and just grind that clock out, and then the Niners can't come back on us. Is that
I think that was our biggest – that's one of our biggest issues. We didn't run the ball like we're supposed to. And when you get deep inside the playoffs and you get to those points where you're up 24-7 and things like that, things are going your way and you come out in the second half and you're rolling and things like that, and then you look up and it's still 12 minutes on the clock. You know, and it's still the third quarter. You like, they still got a chance. You know, they still got possessions to get back into the game and things like that. So we didn't have that guy that could just pound it up in there and get us 3 or 4 and get us 3 and 4 and then move the chains again. You know, and you get two or three first downs, and that's 5, 6
That's 5 minutes. That's exactly right.
Off the clock, you know, and we didn't have that guy to do that. And, I mean, at times, you know, it's kind of frustrating, you know, going back and looking at, you know, what we could have done. But there's a lot of things that, you know, us having 2 turnovers in that game, you know, right there in the second half, like I felt like we turned the ball over. They didn't do anything to take the ball away from us. They didn't hit anybody. They didn't intercept the ball. I mean, they intercepted the ball, but I fell down a route, which never happens, but it happened, and mm-hmm. the guy picked the ball off. So, you know, and we fumbled a snap. Like, it's turnovers, but it's not turnovers that they caused. You know, we kind of gave the ball to them. So, you know, that was kind of frustrating. You go back and look at the film. We don't turn over the ball. Both of those drives were plus 50. We kicked 2 field goals. We're playing in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. What about – let's talk about that divisional round game. What is – Russell Wilson, or I should say Marshawn Lynch, runs that one in with 30 seconds to go. Are you watching that – do you – be honest, though. Are you or Matt Ryan or anybody, are you thinking like, well, realistically, we're done. We're not going to win this game. Is that the thought? Or are you thinking, yeah, we have enough time to get down there, at least in the field goal range?
Yes. Yeah, when you need a field goal, it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Like when you're in a game, you know what I'm saying? Like the San Francisco game, I was like – when they scored, I was like, you know, screw it. You know, we're down 4. You know, we got to go down there. We got to actually score a touchdown. But, I mean, you got – 30, 40 seconds left, 2 timeouts. That's an eternity to get 50 yards.
Yeah.
If I start from the 20, we can't get 50 yards. I mean, we ain't supposed to be out here. You
know, so confidence is the order of the day. You're standing on the sideline. To me, the game was over. I thought he's not going to complete 3 passes in that short of amount of time.
Yeah.
Then the following week, what are you doing in the huddle? As you guys are moving down the field, it was like, wow, they're the Falcons. They're down there now. They need 1 pass and they go to the Super Bowl. What are you guys saying in the huddle?
Oh, we're just telling each other to make the play, and that's what we do. You know. Especially like during the Seahawks game, you know, we're all in the huddle, and you know, the quarterback never gets to the huddle while everybody else is out there. So we're just amongst each other talking, you know. So we're talking to the offensive lineman, like, just make sure you hold up on this play, you know. Make sure y'all hold up. Make sure you hold up, Sam. Make sure you got your guy. Make sure the back chips to help, you know, the guys out. Everybody are on their assignments, and then we're looking at each other like, we need to make a play. I'm going to make the play. No, I'm going to make the play. Like, we're arguing over who's going to make the play, which means everybody's ready to make the play. And that's what you want in the
Is
huddle.
That right? So you're audibly saying to each other, no, I'm making this play.
I'm making this play.
Like, and do you campaign to Matt Ryan in the huddle?
No,
throw it to me.
Actually, nobody knows until the play call comes in and he says the play to us that we know who's getting the ball. Like, we knew, like we're sitting over there arguing about who's going to get the ball in the Seahawks game, and then Matt comes in and get the play call. We know Harry Douglas is going to catch the ball. So we're sitting over there arguing, but everybody has a job to do. Like, on that one route, I had to go clear out. I had to make sure my guy ran with me, you know, and I did my job. You know, unless if I just don't run as fast as I can and I just jog off the ball, Harry doesn't catch that ball. That guy blows him up. And, you know, we don't get a chance to get down there and get the field goal.
I heard about Randy Moss, a guy named Randy Moss, doing that a little bit in his time.
You know, everybody has a job to do, and if everybody does their job, there's always good results to come out.
Man, that's pretty interesting stuff to come. I heard Julio Jones said in that last drive, I am the only one you should throw the ball to. Avoid Rodgers. That's what I heard. I don't know what happened or didn't. I wasn't there. Last question for you, Roddy, is Falcons uniform, best one.
Oh man, the best one we had was the black on black, but we had to wear.
No, that's incorrect. I'm sorry, buzz him on that. That's not the right answer.
That's the best. That's the best jersey we ever had, but they got rid of it for the throwback.
The throwback is way better. The red hat with the black jersey that you guys wear on that Thursday night game—that's your best.
I tried to get us some red pants in.
No, don't do that.
Leave the fashion to me. I love the plum jacket, but that's not. You're out of your depth here. What you could do: red hat, red jersey, gray pants, like they did, like Bartkowski and those guys did. I talked to Tommy Dekou a couple months ago, and he loved the idea.
Yeah. The gray pants is definitely
All right, listen. Roddy White, you're delightful. For what it's worth, I like you way better than Julio. congratulations on making the list. Enjoy your summertime, and thanks for stopping into 66 here. Hope we can do it again sometime.
Hey, man, thanks for having me on.
All right, the great Roddy White. There he is. Did you like the plum jacket, Rank?
Enjoyed
it. There he goes. All right, yeah, talk freely now. You like the plum jacket?
I enjoyed it.
How about
it was
you,
a good look.
It's very smart.
You felt very quiet when Roddy came into the room.
I was almost awed. By that.
He's a handsome man.
Very.
All right, listen. We'll wrap it up here. That's it. Nice to see Roddy White. We'll be back with more Huey and
Applesauce. Can I just say this in my defense?
Yes.
What happened with Dennis Pitter is just my dedication to keeping it to a tight 45.
Oh, for
We're right on time. Once we add the ATL to Bay Club, it's going to be a tight 45. I'm just a dedicated man. I can't.
Great Caesar's ghost.
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
You're better than that, Black.
That's awful.
Maybe you're not. I don't know at this point.
Don't we still have one matter
yes,
of business to
attend
to?
Yes, we have one thing to get to. And listen, I don't
international
mind.
Listeners.
Last podcast earlier in the week, go back and listen to it, 159, I said that baseball is more popular than cricket.
Globally.
I assumed as much. It's our national pastime, but they play it in Asia. They play it in all the Latin American countries. Handsome Hank said, no, cricket much more popular internationally. I solicited tweets on the subject. If anybody had any facts to back up one argument or the other, one side or the other, and I was deluged by his countrymen, Handsome Hank's countrymen.
That's right.
Pointing out stat after stat about why cricket is so much more popular. What is it, like five times more popular?
I think something along those lines, yeah. Right. So what is it you always say?
Well, I stole it from the late, great Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing. He says to Patrick Swayze, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And I'm wrong in this case. You're right, Handsome Hank. I hope you feel like a man.
Not just me, the world.
Now go play cricket. Maybe you could bowl out another good player.
Yep.
All right, that's enough. You know what? I've had it with you. I've had it with Black Tie. I haven't had nearly enough with Dennis Pitta, but what's done is done there. Rank, a pleasure to see you. A pleasure to see Roddy White. Like I say, we'll be back with more Huey and Applesauce later on. But in the meantime, give a listen. Get ready here now. Around the League Debate Club coming up. Here you go, Flames, your heroes. Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler. Take it away, boys.
Hanzus and Mr. Fancy Pants. The Flames need NFL news, and here's their chance. It's ATL around the league. Light a flame, boys. Pigskin's hot tonight. Burn, baby, burn.
Welcome back to another edition of the ATL Debate Club. My name is Dan Hanzus, and I'm joined, as always, by a man that has not been cleared from any of the league's concussion protocols, Mark Sessler.
Well, it is true, Dan. I have failed, of late, a baseline test.
Ooh. Mark,
so
you had a...
You might have to carry this show.
You had an incident with a car over the weekend.
That's true. Got into a car accident that day, thought I was fine. The next day, realized my thoughts are groggy.
Ooh.
I'm not thinking clearly. I've got massive pain on the backside of my skull.
You suffered a brain injury.
Visited a doctor at one point and discovered that it was concussion-like symptoms.
And then in full Enrique Iglesias hero mode, you came to work on Monday.
Well, that's what I do.
That's what you do.
That's what I do.
We have a very special guest in the studio right now, don't we?
We do. Well, it's special because... Well, for a couple of reasons. Now, I think we should lay it out and let people know that we work in NFL.com's main office out here in Los Angeles, in a part of Los Angeles called Culver City. You know, people think of the NFL headquarters out in New York, and that's where our boss, Greg Rosenthal, was for the past year plus. And so every day, you know, we'd come to work in L.A., he'd go to work in New York, and we'd IM back and forth. But they have, or by his own decision or the league's decision, Greg has... moved to Los Angeles. He's out here with us. He came just a couple days ago. And so for the first time in Debate Club history, we've got Greg Rosenthal right here in studio with us. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I feel like it was a mutual decision, the league and myself, you know?
Well, that's how these things work out.
I mean, I don't feel like it was a mutual decision for you to show up to work after getting a concussion, but
again, that is just how I operate, you know, duty above.
I was immediately worried, you know, the next day we talked about it, and you had no recollection of the text messages we had sent back and forth. I started wondering, is this going to be like a Colt McCoy situation where Mark's dad starts popping off that we sent him to work, back to work too early? I mean, this is, I might have ended up on a lawsuit. I mean, this is a sensitive topic.
It might be a fun game to go through all your posts on Monday and just see if they fall apart or some rambling that has nothing to do with football comes up at some point. Would it be possible that some stuff doesn't check out?
Well, I think some of our readers probably went through that exercise and paid dearly for it. I don't really remember what happened that day, but I'm feeling a lot better now. I feel like I have some sympathy now for the player with the concussion-like symptom, in quotes, that kind of floats from week to week. Because right. I think mine was very minor, but for someone that has that on a serious level, you do feel like you're existing on another planet, looking at life happening deep in the distance. You're not able to kind of, like, engage or do much of detail.
Well, Mark said to me, well, it's okay. It's just a mild concussion. And I, and I was thinking, what do we rant about on the site? There is no – we always get – it drives me crazy when teams say a player has a mild concussion. Like, they – that's not a term, first of all. That's not a medical term.
Right.
There are no mild concussions. If you have a concussion, you know, you need to miss the next game. They need to go through the testing. Then we always – hammer teams for using that word, trying to downplay it, and then Mark just breaks it out because he wants to write a post about Blaine Gabbert or whatever.
Well, I put you in my top five list of people who were sympathetic to my plight.
Oh, wow.
Dan did not make that list.
I didn't make it?
No, actually, Dan, you were the one that I think that suggested go to the doctor. So, anyways.
Oh, well, so you're saying that maybe I should be in the top
maybe
five.
Maybe you should. Maybe you cracked the
I
top five.
I even did a WebMD search after the accident and before the doctor visit, where Mark was like, texting me, oh, I'm not feeling so well. And then I was like, oh, you think maybe you should get it checked out because your wife was out of town, so you were, you know, a man alone. And I did a web search, and there was, like, some research saying that you could die if you don't get a head injury checked out. There could be bleeding on the brain. So I'm almost I possibly saved your life. So you might want to amend that statement.
I'll rethink that.
I also gave you a ride home from Starbucks yesterday because you don't have a car.
You're a good friend, Dan. Should we talk a little football?
Maybe. We have Greg here. So Greg is the editor-in-chief of Around the League. Right now, we were talking yesterday, actually, in that Starbucks before the ride, about some teams that are well-positioned, or at least there's a good chance or a chance that they can make the leap from being a sub-500 team to a playoff team. You know, one team that came to mind for me was Mark's Cleveland Browns, who have a lot of talent on the roster, some question marks at quarterback. But if that comes together, if Brandon Whedon comes together, and I know, Greg, you said you might have been starting to buy in a little bit on the Brandon Whedon situation in the newsroom. Maybe they're a team. Who's a team that jumps out for you?
I mean, I'm buying in a little bit that he'll be better than expected. That's a tough division. Mm. I mean, I can't imagine that team doing it. I like the Lions. You know, I see, trying to come up with surprise team, the NFL is so up and down. It's like, would it really surprise you that much if the Lions were back to being a playoff team? It wouldn't surprise
me
that much.
No.
So, but I would put the Lions in that group. I would put the Eagles. I think you look at the offensive talent they have on the line, the depth that all their positions, quarterback, a little shaky, but I think they could get right back into the playoffs. They seem like one of those teams, surprises everyone, goes 10-6, loses in the wild card round, but it was kind of like that nice little first season under Chip Kelly. I like the Steelers a lot. I don't know if they're a surprise, but I think they can win the Super Bowl. I think they're one of those teams.
Yeah, those are good mentions. And as you say, Greg, it's like the whole league, I don't want to say the whole league is sort of, you know, mired in this middle space, but outside of your real top couple of teams and a couple always at the real bottom, it's like there's such a soft belly there that it's tough to really say anyone's completely out of it. I picked the Bucks. I look at Tampa and I think that they got real hot last season and they kind of crumbled down the stretch. It does come down to whether Freeman A is allowed to play through the season or if he's worthy of that. Again, it's a quarterback issue for most of these teams. They got a lot of pieces in place. I love what they did on defense in the offseason. They turned that secondary from a real weakness into a strength. They were, I think, number one against the run last season on defense. As pieces in place, and Shiano, he's starting to have his type of team come together. So that's my team.
It's funny when you go through all the teams, you know, let's say there are five teams that jump out, I think, to a lot of people's possibilities. Browns, Cardinals, Bucks, Chargers, and Titans. Okay, four of those teams, it's the quarterback that's the big question mark.
Those are the teams jumping out to people? Why are those
what is
the teams?
Well, if you go through the list of teams, right, that stunk last year, teams that can make the leap, who am I leaving off?
I don't know. I'm just saying I don't know if those teams are leaping off the page for people. Cardinals, I mean, they're in a tough situation. I actually like their talent, but they're in a tough situation in that division. Same thing with the Browns. I don't know if those are – to me, those aren't going to be teams that people are, like, picking as trendy teams. I like those picks as more original teams because I don't think people are going to be riding the Titans. I think they'll be more – I think I was more predictable with the Lions, the Eagles.
Right.
Lions in a tough division, though. That's not going to be any easy job getting out of there.
Yeah, but I could see the Vikings falling off. You know, the Bears have a new coach, changing up a lot of things. There are harder divisions out there.
There's a flip side of this, too, and, you know, it's that hype trap. And, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, we went through this last year where everyone was picking them to make noise. Adam Rank from the Damashek podcast actually picked them to go to the Super Bowl. And, you know, they fell apart. I think they won two games. This year, now they have Alex Smith. They're healthy and new coaching staff. Everybody seems to be excited that, again, that they're going to be a AFC team to watch. Are we again, getting caught up with the Chiefs undeservedly?
I was one of those people that bought in a little too much last year, and I do feel it coming again because the same reasons are there. I love the defensive talent on that team. It really hasn't changed, and they have so many players. I like what they did on offense. I think Andy Reid. And the big thing is when I look for surprise teams, I look at the schedule and I look at what division could you come in second place in and maybe make the playoffs. And the AFC West is so bad. So I think there is room for the Chargers or the Raiders or the Chiefs to be that surprise AFC team by coming in second in that division, maybe getting 9 or 10 wins.
Well, I think that's real fair. The AFC West is ripe for one of those bottom three to take a jump. The Chargers, I think, are going to be a better coached operation this season. They might not be as easy to take down. I look at the Chiefs, though, and for me, the caution is I think people glog on to change in the offseason. They just want to see, oh, there's so much change here. They have a new coach. They have a new quarterback. And, hey, that means that's going to be positive. Well, it might take actually a couple seasons for Andy Reid to even get what he wants in place. And, again, this was a 2-14 team that – a lot of overrated players potentially on that roster. But listen, Alex Smith, I think, deserves a little more credit than he's given as a game manager, I guess.
Right. And I guess going to your point of change not always being good, the Miami Dolphins are another example. You know, they have a ton of new chess pieces, but does that mean automatically now they're an AFC player? I'm not convinced.
I feel like I've painted myself into a corner with the Dolphins because I've kind of talked about how the offseason spending champion every year never does well, and that's the Dolphins this year, especially on deep. They paid a lot of okay guys a lot of money, but on the other hand, I'm kind of driving the Ryan Tannehill bandwagon.
You and, are.
and so if he's really going to take a big second-year leap, you know, he should be able to carry a team in another shaky division to a second-place spot at least and be in the mix. So I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to pick for them to go like 8-8 because I straddle the fence.
Well, last year, around August, it was Greg who, if I'm not mistaken, in our shocking predictions, was a lone voice in the wilderness that suggested the Colts would be not only a winning team but a playoff team.
Bam!
Greg, and that was at
standing
a time
up
when
to celebrate or and, stretching.
Well, and everyone
other,
was saying,
sure.
"You're a fool if you don't see that even with luck, the Colts will win 3 or 4 games." They're a shambles, and so it's like we really have no idea, do we?
Well, and it's harder to pick the teams that are going to fall off. It's like easy to pick who's going to come up a little bit, but then you have to pick the equal amount of teams that are going to fall off. And I've been thinking about this a lot as, you know, we're getting to that time where we'll start thinking about prediction. And the Colts are a logical one, but I love luck so much that I think the Texans are more likely to fall off than the Colts. I actually kind of like luck to just step it up and put that team on his back, and the Texans, on the other hand, I don't know. I feel like they're growing a little stale. It's an old team.
Let me ask you one question. The Baltimore Ravens, better or worse football team right now than they were the night they won the Super Bowl?
They're worse. I mean, I like the philosophy of what they've done, but they just won the Super Bowl.
Fair. They're at the mountaintop. They've got to go down one way or the other.
I see what you're saying, but – And they're, I don't think they're losing that much in the guys that they lost, but they're still worse, and they'll be a team that's developing. There's no reason to think they're better.
I just like that they did not take a sentimental approach to some of their aging guys. They brought in some new talent. But, yeah, you're right. It's going to be tough. They also got onto one of the hotter streaks in recent memory. So
no one brought up Dan's team as a potential surprise.
The New York Jets are not a team on anyone's radar, and I don't have, even as a fan, I don't think I could put them as a team that's going to win anything more than six games at this point.
Signs that your team is not in good shape. Mark Sanchez did not know the names of his wide receivers.
Well, you know.
That's rough.
I don't think he's going to be their quarterback either, so I guess it might be a non-point. But poor Gino, I actually got a chance to interview him at a public school event in Los Angeles last month, and I asked him, does he have the weapons to succeed with this offense? And he said something like, oh, we'll see. And then he caught himself and corrected himself quickly and was like, oh, yeah. And then he rambled off Stephen Hill and, you know, this idea that, you know, this offense has this capability of surprising people. But there's not enough talent there. I mean, I don't see how the Jets are going to be able to score 20 points consistently in any week.
Everyone's excited about Chris Ivory. Chris Ivory was the fourth running back on a okay running attack. I love Chris Ivory too, and I think he'll be good. He'll be better than what they have, but let's not get carried away.
I think everything looks like a shining gem that you just pulled out of a heap in the offseason, and then the games and the practices begin and the injuries set in. And last year's injury-marred players are no different this year. And you realize why the same teams seem to go to the playoffs year after year, the same group. It's how you build that organization.
So why don't we transition now? And this is going to be a good transition. Wilk, make note of this. From real football to 8-bit football. What did you think about that, Wilk?
I was very impressed by that.
Although, I don't know if it's going to be... I feel like the only... I thought it was great, too, but flaw is that you announced it was a transition before it started.
That does sort
we
of
We like
fly
to do that on this show.
Transition. I transitioned to the transition a little bit.
We like to really paint out our movements to listeners on this show.
Our glories. Yeah. Well...
It's all about trusting the listener.
Yes.
Greg, here's what's going to happen, fellow listeners.
Greg, did you play Tecmo Super Bowl as a child?
Oh, yeah, all day.
You did. So is really a cultural thing because, Mark, I know we've talked about it. You have somewhere in your house, and you're going to get it to us for Debate Club, a spiral notebook that had results and plays,
yeah, like
correct?
Thick 4-inch notebooks in my parents' house, not mine. With deeply, you know, pages rich with detail about every single game that my brother and my best friend played as kids, thousands of them.
I was equally, well, I didn't keep notebooks, but I was obsessive of the game. I would go through an entire season in one sitting with the Jets and Ken O'Brien at quarterback and
the stats,
Al Toon.
The stats made a big difference that they kept the stats.
Yes, that was the game changer. And actually, what we've spoken about before about Tecmo Super Bowl was it was the first game to keep stats, but the saving mechanism wasn't always trustworthy. You would turn it off and then turn it back on, it would be gone. So I would sometimes, if I got off to a good start in a season, I'd play the whole season because I wouldn't want to lose Ken O'Brien's 400-yard game, Freeman McNeil going off for 270 and three touches. But the NFL Films and ESPN jointly got together and put out the Tecmo Bowl special that aired last October originally, and now I guess in the offseason, NFL Network has space to fill, time to fill. That's been airing a lot. It was a great special. It had a lot of great characters that were, you know, following this Madison Tecmo tournament that all these guys gather from around the country, and they compete to see who's the greatest Tecmo player. The breakout star was this guy, Mort.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, without a doubt. Did you see the special, by the way, Greg?
Yeah, it's great.
Mort, who based out of Buffalo, I believe is a forklift operator, but a Tecmo expert, and he became nothing less than a newsroom folk hero because everyone has TVs on at all times. And we started to think, like, what if we got Mort on the podcast?
Well, we talked to Jim Brown last week.
Yes.
So let's follow it up by talking to Mort.
Yeah, so we put Wilk on it. And Wilk, I know you probably had to go through all your different connections and back channels, but
burn
you did
some
track
favors.
It down.
It took like six different Rolodexes. I had to find six people with Rolodexes, but I did find him, and I'm ready to get them going.
So I think it's time. Greg has to go downstairs and continue working. He'll be waiting for us and docking our pay for every minute that this interview goes. But it's worth it because Mort is somebody that we admire.
Let's give him a call.
Thank you, Greg, for coming on, and let's give Mort a call. Breakout star in the newsroom, a folk hero almost in the NFL Network newsroom for his turn in the Tecmo special for NFL Films. We have him on the line. Francis Bunagle is his name, but he's better known as Mort. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We're doing great. Dan Hans is here, joined by Mark Sessler. Mort, the NFL Films special has been getting aired. It's been getting a lot of airplay lately. I don't know. Have you noticed that maybe it's picked up, at least on NFL Network?
I noticed it on my Twitter page. Everybody with the Let's Go Mort handle, and like I keep missing it. I keep searching the TV guide. I always seem to miss it.
Yeah. Well, I guess the first question that comes to mind when I talk to you, and I do have many questions here, but the first one is how has your life changed since it's first started airing? Are you getting noticed a lot, or you know, has it made you double down as a Tecmo Bowl player in terms of how serious you are about it, or has it not changed at all?
I was always serious. I like to win at everything. But what I've noticed is that people on the street recognize me more. I went to a bar just last week, and the bartender, I knew the one bartender from a long time ago, but the guy who was there was like, hey, do you know who that is? She's like, oh, yeah, that's just Francis. He's like, no, you don't understand. That's Mort. He's famous.
That's awesome.
Let me ask you a question. I mean, obviously, you want to stay on top of your game. Now, Tecmo came out many years ago, so I noticed in the show you talked about you're continuing to look for new folds and wrinkles and strategy. I mean, how much practice do you put in on a weekly basis?
It depends. Since it's right before the tournament, I've been playing like 2-3 hours a day just to stay on top of things and try. My brother and me, we play all the time, and then that's the best way to go, to have somebody that good you could play against who's trying to get better too.
So that Madison tournament, is that the Super Bowl of Super Tecmo Bowl tournaments?
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's what the competition, it reaches pretty high up there. The other tournaments are a little lighter on the competition, but they're just as much fun. But that one, it seems to draw, everybody wants to travel to that one. And ever since, even before the special, but now with the special, it's like the Tecmo Christmas, as Josh called it this year. Everybody wants to go there this year.
And is it, that's really interesting. Do you have to qualify to get into it, or is it anybody that pays the fee and signs up is in?
Yeah, there's a sign-up day, and if you sign up, you're in. There's no preference giving to people who have been there before. They declare a number, and then they have a waiting list. And usually each year they'll declare a number, and then they'll raise it by 30 or 50 people. So it gets bigger every year, but not too big to what they don't think they can handle.
But Mort doesn't have to sign up at this point, right?
He's just, I got to sign up, too, on the first day and make sure I signed up.
Wait, you've put in hundreds of hours practicing playing. Is there a part of you that gets bored at all with Tecmo Bowl?
Yeah, it is. I took like after the tournament I just held in Buffalo in April, I took like a month off. I used to take the whole summer off, but now there's tournaments everywhere, so it's like it's like in a month and a half we're going to play again. So my brother would be like, we got to start playing again and be ready.
Is there a part of you that ever wanted to make the leap to the Madden franchise that seems to reinvent itself every year?
I tried to once, but it's a totally different world. There's more buttons, and you've got to learn so many different things. Tecmo's very complicated, but everything comes down to basic. You're just moving a guy around and how you move around and how you react to what's on the field, and you just use two buttons. And although I like the graphics and the animation, I just find that Madden's too complicated trying to learn all the different plays, all the 10 buttons to use a linebacker.
Well, that's funny that you mentioned that, Mort, because at one point on the NFL film special, which I've probably seen about 12 times now, you do make mention, too, you've been practicing a lot and you got new moves. And, you know, I see you've mentioned that you have maybe a pupil that you've been teaching as well. I mean, how many moves can there be when there are two buttons and then one directional pad?
You see, that's the thing. It's just what you can imagine and what you can see. The computer, basically, I just have to say, is that the drones you play against, those are the guys the defender doesn't man. There's always something that you could do. You can run with the QB. They leave little openings, like they'll look like they're covering a guy, but really the guy will run past and he'll look like he's covered, but he'll have a step on him. And it's just discovering, using different plays against different teams. And just the strategies, basically, I guess I could say like a football game. You got two teams and you match them up and you try to think of all the different ways that you could take advantage of the weaknesses of one team.
Is there could you pick a most dangerous performer in Tecmo Bowl?
I'd have to go with Chet then.
Mm.
He won Madison again last year. I've personally never beaten him. I've come close every game, and every game I've just lost to him. But I'll say the deadly thing about him is he's very efficient running, passing, and he's got a real winning attitude. So he comes into a game, and it's going to be really hard to beat him.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, in the tournament that was aired in the special, there seemed to be some legit animosity between you and Chet and between several of the players. I mean, do you guys not like each other?
We all like each other as friends, but just on game day, all the rivalry.
I don't buy it. There's hatred. Hatred in the eyes.
Yeah, that friendly rivalry thing. But, I mean, we're good friends. Like, the Folks are in town. Matt Folks getting married. His girlfriend's always lived in Buffalo. And we were playing last night. We all like each other, but we all want to beat the crap out of each other.
Right.
Can you, could you play Tecmo with a beer in your hand? Would you get better after a
worse.
Beer or two? Worse.
I'm Matt Vogt. I know Chris Vogt. I was talking about that last night. Those guys, they all like to drink. I can't drink and play at the same time. Last night I was drinking and playing, and I was just getting sloppy at the end.
All right. Well, we're going to let you go in a minute, though, Mort. But I would like to ask, do you see yourself playing this game in 5 years?
Yes.
Is it and why is that?
I just think that the popularity is enough where it will just keep continuing maybe another 5 or 10 years. There's just a certain amount of people. It always seems like we're dedicated to playing, whether it's online, whether we get some guys together locally, or if you have a tournament, or if it's like Madison. Even if Madison eventually stops having their tournament, there'll be other tournaments, and I guess we don't want the game to die.
Right. Well, it doesn't sound like it's going to die anytime soon, judging by the popularity. You are, Mort, a NFL Media Newsroom folk hero, and it's important that you know that, Mort.
All right, that's awesome. It's something to talk about around the water cooler.
And, yes, we thank you for coming on, and we wish you the best of luck in the upcoming Madison tournament. When is that?
The next Madison tournament will be in March, but there are going to be two tournaments in July. One's the Midwest, where David Fulcher makes an annual appearance.
Right.
And it's in Cincinnati, I think, on July 27th. And if anybody's interested, to check it out on TecmoBowl.org.
Oh, we will. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mort.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. And there he goes, Mort. That was good. He was exactly who I expected him to be.
Yeah, he was. I mean, that answers the question that we didn't ask. Were you happy with how the show portrayed you? And I think he would be. What do you think?
I mean, listen, he's a character, and he came across on the phone as a character. And, you know, seems like a nice guy. And I'll tell you one thing. What jumped out to me is he... when I asked him if he'd be doing this 5 years from now, without hesitation, he said yes. I think he's a guy that he loves playing Tecmo Bowl. He loves being the best at it. Everybody likes being the best at something or trying to be the best, and this is what he's the best at. So he sounds like a guy that 60 years from now, if everything goes to plan in his life, in his obituary, in a newspaper that I would assume is either floating or it's some type of digital thing that's in your glasses and you could read it, it will say, "Here lies Francis Boonagle, a.k.a. Mort, the greatest Tecmo player that ever lived." That's in the first graph of his obit, and that's not bad, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure that's going to be widely understood.
I disagree. I think Tecmo Bowl will be remembered for generations.
Well, that's fair. I mean, it does seem like sort of an immortal...
Well, listen, if the game came out over 20 years ago and men are gathering, traveling great distances, Mort himself in the NFL film special, he took a train from Buffalo and then a bus... through a blizzard to get to this Madison tournament. So, I mean, it's a game that has staying power. I don't know if it's picking up new players, like if there's a 11-year-old boy somewhere outside Dallas playing Tecmo Super Bowl right now, but I'd like to think that maybe we live in a world where that could be possible.
You know, I think Dan, it's worthy to dream about that somewhere, someplace, some young child is discovering Tecmo Bowl. We have got to go.
It's time to go. We're out of time. Next week, I will be in New York, but you will be in studio.
With a surprise co-host.
Surprise co-host. And yeah. Feel free to give me a call.
Mainly because I haven't decided or unearthed who that person will be.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to seeing who's going to be on the other end of the line. But until then... We'll see you next week.